Thank you, Ms. Marlene. As I mentioned earlier, they made comment about what the blind man saw. I did preach a sermon last year entitled What the Blind Man Saw, but this is from the same passage of Scripture, but a different approach with the new year coming in. And I'm going to challenge you once again tonight in reference to the new year, but simply lessons from a blind man. And I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. I have a lot of it in your handout, but I don't have the whole passage I'm fixing to read now in your handout. So if you want to turn to the book of Luke chapter 18, I'm going to read verses 35 through 38. And then I believe the rest of the references and things will be in your handout. Luke chapter 18, we'll begin reading in verse number 35. I really want us to pray this year and really... I'm not talking about praying like this, good Lord, good meat, I'm a Baptist, so let's eat. I mean, a little more content, a little more saying, begging and beseeching the Lord. Let's pray for boldness in our witnessing and telling others about Christ. Let's pray for new families in the church. Let's pray for continued unity within the body of Christ here at Harvest Baptist Church and asking the Lord in those things, how can I fit into this? How can I make the unity better? How can I improve my boldness, Lord? How can I work in reaching new families? And then when they do come in, how can I myself personally minister to them? So you can minister to new families coming in. You can minister to new people coming in without teaching a class. There's lots of ways. There's one thing that we have probably far above many churches, and that is we are a friendly, welcoming church. And I praise the Lord for that. And so let's build on that even more so. Go beyond that and maybe some Sunday not only just be friendly, but we also see families coming in, maybe their second visit. Or you don't want to do too quick the first visit, but maybe they come for a second visit or maybe come from a third. Maybe invite them to lunch, either out or to your home. Invite them during the week for a cup of coffee or something. Find a way to minister and encourage them and talk to them about the church, about the ministry, how they're enjoying the church, and then go from there. That connection that we talked about this morning that we need with the Lord, we also need that connection with those around us. So let's look together tonight. I want to encourage you. I thought I was going to really be a lot shorter than what I may be because the longer I sang and the longer as I listened to special music, the more notes I was adding to my notes. So we'll see as the Lord brought some things in my mind. Luke chapter number 18, let's begin reading in verse number 35. And it came to pass that he was come nigh unto the Jericho, a certain man, certain blind man, set by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou art the Son of David, have mercy on me. And they went before, rebuked him. Can you imagine that? Rebuking for calling out to Jesus. They rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Father, bless the reading of your word and bless our time together tonight as we look at some scriptures and look at the lessons that we can learn from a blind man. Look at some things that will help us as we go into this new year already a weekend, Father, how we can be more available and ready and willing and pliable to be used by you and for you through this year. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Bartimaeus cried out to the Lord here in our passage of Scripture. And the word cry here means to speak with a high, strong voice, to cry out for help or aid. And when he cried, he referred to Jesus as the Son of David. He knew it had heard something about the Savior. And by using this well-known messianic title, Bartimaeus was expressing his faith in Jesus as the Messiah who could save him, who could heal him. The Son of David refers to God's promise to King David that he would have a descendant who would have an eternal throne and be the Messiah or the King. Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Here was a man that was in the dark. There's no doubt about it. He was in the dark, yet he was crying out to the light of the world. Boy, what a lesson right there. He was, though he was blind, he was crying out to the light of the world. And isn't it wonderful to know, no matter how bad, how sinful a person may be, no matter how rough their background is, that they will call upon the Lord, he will answer their prayer. And the Bible is very clear, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. And of course, John 3:16, the verse that many of us learned as children or newly after we're saved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we pray and we call out to God, are we as loud and as vigorous and in desperate need as blind Bartimaeus was? Do we, though we're not blind that we can physically see, do we not have some needs in our life that would demand a cry out to the Lord for help? But do we? How do we communicate to the Lord? How do we cry out to him? In our example here with blind Bartimaeus, the persistent cry of the beggar got the attention of Jesus. He was persistent. And this word here, as I mentioned before, it means to speak with a high, strong voice, to cry for help. He wasn't just saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I can only imagine him with a throne. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he would not relinquish, though they tried him to be quiet, the more and more that he cried out, because he had a need and he knew where and how his need could possibly be met. Picture this. Blind Bartimaeus holding out his hands to the Lord and then crying out for mercy. How do we cry out unto the Lord? How do we communicate our needs to the Lord? Here, there, back in our text in Luke 18 to verse 39, and when they went before, and they which went before rebuked him that he should not hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Michelle and I had the privilege of going to a basketball game Saturday. Our son flew in from Omaha, son-in-law flew in from Omaha. He is working his way up through a reffing basketball from a lower level college to higher. He's moving his way up. So he flew out, reffed a game, got us tickets. We stopped by, we'll call. In fact, he stayed with us. We drove up and back together. And we were watching the game. We had good seats. I mean, we were just from less half the distance from here to the doors to the courts. I mean, we had really good seats. Only problem with our seat is they both said row 2, seat 9. Michelle had to sit on my lap the whole game. Actually, we were fortunate enough that the row was empty and we didn't have to do that. But anyway, I thought it was humorous that it said that. Anyway, that's not part of the message. Anyway, we were watching the game and there was a foul called. And I think it was in the third quarter. The South Dakota was ahead and was beating North Arizona University pretty bad. They came back and they won the game, but it was a heated battle. And there was a jump ball toward the end, and there's two players on the end of the court, standing over there at the end of the court, and the ball was on the ground, and it picked up, and they both reached to pick it up, and neither one of them wanted to let go. The whistle had already been blown. They were out of bounds. There was just a lot of testosterone going on right there in that corner, let me tell you. Neither one, and the ref blew the whistle again. Give me the ball. Neither one of them wanted to get loose. They wanted to give him the ball. No, I'm going to give him the ball. They went less loose. Here's my point. Do we latch on to the Lord like that when we pray? I'm not going to let loose. There's some other examples in the Word of God how folks would not turn loose. Jacob would not turn loose. Do we cry out? Do we latch on? Do we hold on? Do we say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need it. Our church needs it. My neighbor, he needs it. He needs to be saved. Whatever the case may be, but just holding on. And as he cries out, those who were leading the procession were upset at this beggar. They saw him possibly as being filthy, him making a commotion and trying to bother Jesus. Has a thought ever crossed your mind that you were bothering Jesus? I mean, others may feel that way, but good night. He's there for our needs. He's there with a listening ear. He's never too busy. The connection is always there. But the problem is, again, that as we talked about this morning, the power source is there. It's just us. The crowd is saying, shut up. Be quiet. Leave Jesus alone. Just knock it off. Can you imagine maybe the possibility of the rebuke they got later from Jesus? I mean, he knew exactly what was going on. He knew what he would do before the blind man even cried out. He knew exactly what he needed, but it was a teaching opportunity for our Lord. Here's our next blank. Bartimaeus was considered a nobody by these folks simply because he was poor and a beggar. They wanted him to simply to shut up. Dear friends, there are no nobodies. Jesus died for everybody. There's a need there. And these folks had, for some reason or another, they still had not learned their role as a follower of Christ. And dear friends, that is to minister to those that are in need, to help them when and where we can. Notice again in verse 39 that word rebuked. It is from the word epetemeo, which means to chide sharply, to rebuke, to reprove, to censor severely. Now let me meddle, or our Congress could need some of that, couldn't they? To censor severely. I mean, they weren't just telling him to be quiet. They were threatening him. Hey, knock it off. Almost to the point they were probably going to carry him or take him out. It was a very stern rebuke. It is in the imperfect tense as well, which means they did this continually. And according to my Bible, even though they rebuked him, what was Bartimaeus doing? He was still shouting out to Jesus. Do we let a whisper or a comment or other people being critical because of our position or trying to hush us up to hush us? Or do we just speak a little louder in kind and in love, but saying, no, I will not? So often we shy away, and we have to be careful, I know, but we need to be careful about shying away too much that we might hurt someone's feelings. I'm sorry. The Scripture does hurt feelings. The Scripture does convict. Scripture does encourage. It does all those things that we need. But those that are away from the Lord, those who need Christ especially, feel uncomfortable. Again, can you imagine rebuking someone who was crying out to Jesus? But that's exactly what's taking place. They were good people. Remember, there are times when good people make inappropriate choices or use bad discernment. Yes, good people can have bad discernment. And here's a good example here with our passage. The important thing is correcting it and not allowing pride to cause us to justify those actions. Yes, good people can make bad decisions. Good people can do things they shouldn't do. Good people could have bad discernment. And when we recognize that, we need to correct it. Bartimaeus did not quiet down. He got louder and cried the more. Again, there in verse number 39, the word cried is from the word kradzo. It describes the cry of a raven. That's pretty much of a squawk. It means to cry aloud, to shout, or to scream in an excited way. Almost to the point when I read it, it wasn't just for desperation. Jesus, Son of David, he was also some joy knowing who it was and what he could do. It wasn't just a plea for help, which it was, but it was also confidence in knowing that Christ could heal me. As we see in the word here, as was translated, it says, scream in an excited way. He screamed continually, the Bible said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Are we continual in our prayer? Do we pray two or three times and give up and say, well, the Lord must have said no? Folks, I think a lot of times we quit praying maybe a day or week, a year, or even longer too soon. A wait may be there, but I tell you what, I just can't comprehend, understand why we don't continually pray, asking the Lord. I've been praying for my Uncle Dan for a good night for over 25, 30 years, and I'm not going to quit. He needs the Lord. I've got other uncles I prayed for years and rejoiced when I saw them trust Christ as their Savior. There's other things and needs we have in our life. Pray and pray and pray. Don't give up. Don't give up. I know I've got three granddaughters I'm spending a whole lot more time with, and they sure don't take no for an answer the first time. I'm not talking about in discipline and telling them no, but when they want something, they'll ask, they'll wait, or they'll go to another parent, another grandparent, or even come back and smile as almost to say, have you changed your mind yet? Do we have the same type of diligence and going toward the Lord? Notice three important lessons from this blind man. Number one, he reminds us that some people will hinder us from seeking the Lord's help. Some people will do all they can to hinder us from seeking the Lord's help. And that's exactly what these men were doing. They were hindering him from seeking help. See, the Lord, these men, they will try to get in your way. They will try to get in our way in trying to service or crying out to the Lord. We need to make sure we don't allow that. When you get excited about seeking Jesus and talking about Jesus, there will always be some folks around you who will just try to discourage your enthusiasm for the Lord. There he goes again, talking about that Jesus. You know, we've heard it. They'll try to discourage us and keep us. We must not allow people to hinder us from seeking the Lord's help. See, the world tends to distance himself from folks who are seeking help from Christ. Society may talk much about compassion and love for their fellow man, but when Jesus enters a picture or when his name is mentioned in conversation, they tend to get irritated and maybe sometimes even hostile. But that should not keep us or hinder us from doing what we need to do. I know one thing, it's not the best illustration, but I remember playing football growing up, especially when I got into high school. That guy on the other side of the line of scrimmage, he wanted to eat my lunch. In fact, he wanted to find out what I had for lunch if he could get me to lose my cookies. Because it was a game, it was war. We're going to win. We're going to drive you back. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves, that's a lot of talk. Yeah, they probably did want to hurt us or hurt each other. They did want to knock us out of the way. It's the game that's competing. But when we serve the Lord, it's not a game. And it's not a competition. But it's simply realizing that just like water off a duck's back, let them bark, let them squeal, let them cry out, I'm just going to keep serving. I'm just going to keep moving forward. I'm going to ask the Lord to change their heart. I can't give a whole lot of examples, but I can give one. And I may have mentioned him before. His name is Jerry. But when I was in basic training, Jerry let me know real quick when I made the decision that I was going to stand and be a believer for the Lord through my basic training. It was hard. It wasn't easy. Saw both of my roommates that we had shared an area with. Praise God, I wasn't in the Bay. Trust Christ as our Savior made an impact on my drill sergeant who I met later at my next assignment. But Jerry harassed me, cursed me, and cursed God around me the whole 18 to 24 weeks through basic and the next training, just harassing me because I was a believer. But you know, on the last day when we left and got ready to board our planes to go home with our families to go to our next student assignment, Jerry came by and said, Cook, I haven't been a very good person. Will you let me carry your bag to the taxi? And we talked along the way. I didn't accept that he just wanted to apologize. On that walk, I started telling him again about his need for Christ. And he just laughed and said, you just won't change, will you? I said, no, but God is working on you because you've already sought me out to ask to talk. And I think the Lord wants me to tell you about Christ one more time. And I'd already prepared a little Bible that the Gideons gave us in basic training with a map for Jerry on how to be saved and gave it to him before he left and asked, would you could do one thing for me? And I said, yes, by the way, I do forgive you, but I ask you to do one more thing other than carry my bag. Would you just read the front page and go from there in this little New Testament? Folks, we don't know what God is doing, but if we allow others around us to push us down, to silence us, we're going to allow them to hinder us from seeking the Lord's help. Number two, in spite of the opposition we face, we need to be persistent in crying out to the Lord for help. We need to be persistent in crying out for the Lord's help. See, the beggar was not ashamed to seek Christ's help, and neither should we. We should never, ever be concerned about seeking the help of the Lord. I grew up in a home as the oldest and three younger siblings. And my younger siblings, my two younger brothers and younger sister, had no problem coming to me and asking me for help as a big brother. And so much more that we should be able to go to our Heavenly Father to ask for help regularly. The beggar was not ashamed. Are we ashamed of who Christ is, what he has done for us? Are we ashamed or reluctant to cry out to him, to go to him? We need to be persistent. We need to be that squeaky oil. And so when the Lord gives us the old WD-40, what he's giving us is an answer to prayer. Be the squeaky oil. Cry out to the Lord. I believe he loves that. We are to be dedicated in seeking the Lord, and our life in spite of any opposition that we may face. You see, he may have been blind, but he could see. Think about that for a moment. He saw or realized in his mind enough of who he was, of the stories he's heard, the things that others have told him, that he knew this man, Jesus, could do something. He saw, recognized in his mind that he could be healed. And dear friends, we need to make sure that we're seeing and realizing what the Lord can do. God can do anything he chooses to do. God can fill our auditorium with young families over the next year. God can bring people in for us to minister to. And by the way, when folks come in, here's the attitude we need to have. We need to minister to them today, whether the Lord keeps them here or not. Because we don't know who's in need. We don't know what the situation is. We don't know why they may be here. They may just be passing through on their way somewhere else. They may just be in desperation. It was an easy place to come to as they were traveling or maybe looking out. Who knows the situation? But they're here for a reason. Let's minister to them while they're here and see what God does from there. I'm afraid sometimes we pick and choose, if we're not careful, who we want to get close to, who we want to minister to, how, what effect. In other words, if we're not careful, we're looking at is what can we get out of them staying. Okay, we can get a couple seats filled. But what we need to be looking at is what can I be blessed of the Lord by ministering and being an obedient servant? How the Lord will bless me. Well, preacher, that's what you're doing. You're just looking for the Lord to bless you. Well, no, I'm not looking for the Lord to bless me. I just know he will if I'm obedient. And he will. And we need to look at those opportunities just blessing others. If we're not careful, some people will hinder us from seeking the Lord's help. We need to be persistent in crying out to the Lord for help. And then number three, don't waste your opportunities to get close to the Lord. Don't waste your opportunities to get close to the Lord. See, this beggar had a sense of urgency. I mean, he had an immediate need. He did not want to lose the opportunity to receive Christ's help and blessings. The opportunities that we have. Here he is. I have no idea what took place. I can only imagine in my small little mind that he was in this little town out somewhere, like the Bible says, he was begging. His eyes may not have worked, but he could hear. And somebody was coming, and the Bible says they were inquiring and asking, and here was coming Jesus, and he thought, here's my chance. Here's my chance. I'm going to cry out to him and beg of him because I know that he can heal. Remember, he's a blind man. Only thing he knows is what he has heard and what others has told him. He has never seen Jesus. He has never seen Jesus heal anyone. He's never seen Jesus perform any miracles. He's only trusting in what he has heard. Are we willing to trust in what we read in his word? Are we willing to trust that in knowing that he can do anything that he chooses to do? Don't waste the opportunities to get close to the Lord. We're in a fortunate situation that because of God and because of his ascension and the Holy Spirit, we can draw close to him every day, anywhere we choose, no matter where we're at. We can be close to him. We can approach that throne of grace no matter where it is, whether it's in the comforts of our home, whether it's here during the week and coming by the church and taking a few moments to walk the property, come in and sit down and pray, say, God bless this place. God use me. God use my family. Lord, make a difference. See, it doesn't matter where we're at. There are those who had the opportunity to go and obey the Lord and walk around the walls of Jericho before they fell down flat. They had a place to go to. But dear friends, we have a place we can go to in our mind of our heart, in our mind's heart, and saying, Lord, bless. Fit the needs, heal the needs that I have, heal the hurt that I have, heal whatever it may be, but then also, Lord, help me to minister unto others. Because we live in a world today that need people to love on them, to encourage them, and to receive them as they are. The beggar had an urgency. How is our urgency? Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "For you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Let me read it one more time in another way. "And ye shall seek me and find me." God doesn't play hide and go seek with his children. "And find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Dear friends, he is available. He is not hiding. He is not invisible. We need to make the decision. These lessons from the blind man, some people will hinder us from seeking the Lord's help. We need to be persistent in crying out to the Lord for the help of the needs that we have as well as those of others. And don't waste your opportunities to get close to the Lord. One more thing and we'll be through. Again, I can't help as my mind goes through the story of this beggar here crying out, trying to be hushed by a crowd, and just still crying out, whether the Lord was down the road, where he was coming in, where he heard the thrones. There's no telling how far away Jesus was when he began screaming. But the Bible says he continually, that tense used, continually to cry it out. It might have been from a distance, but see, we know our Lord didn't need to hear him. He already knew he was going to cry out. But how long was it before as he began to come in and make his way in and he finally asked to bring him to me? How often, how much, think about this, how much of a testimony was this lost man who was blind before he met Jesus as he cried out unto Jesus, Son of David? He recognized him without seeing him and testified in who he was as the Messiah as he cried out unto him. And when he asked him what he could do for him right away, he said, to give him his sight. Dear friends, maybe we also need to ask the Lord to help us to see as he sees. Lord, help me see my Jerusalem. Help me see where I live, my community, my home, where I shop, where I live, where I go. Help me to see the people as you see them. Because if we're not careful, we go out blinded because we have blinders on. And all we see is a mission. Why send you to the store? And all the way to the store you're driving, milk and bread, milk and bread, milk and bread, milk and bread, milk and bread. We don't have to do that anymore. She can text me. All I got to do is read the text. Oh, yeah, it was milk and bread. But all the way, we're going for milk and bread, milk and bread. Why not as we drive and go to run our errand, say, Lord, as I run down to Fry's, as I run down to the Walmart, as I run down to the Safeway, as I run down to Albertsons, wherever you go, Lord, give me the opportunity that I might not be in such a hurry, that I might greet someone, say hello to someone, or maybe even invite someone to church as I get bread and milk. And while I'm there, Lord, I might as well get some ice cream as well. But Lord, help me. I met a guy in the ice cream aisle. I'll go ahead and throw this in. We'll be through a little humorous. It can be humorous, and it can be fun, it can be joyful serving the Lord. But this gentleman looked a little intimidating. Looked a little like he was not real happy with what was going on, but he was looking for ice cream in the refrigerator section. So I thought, you know, I'm going to see if I can get this scowl off his face and see if I can get this guy to smile. Didn't tell him who I was, didn't tell him I was a preacher until later. And I walked up and put my hands on my hips and stood next to him and, well, should we get 1 gallon or five? He just kind of looked at me. Well, hey, I mean, you're here for a reason, aren't you? And we got to talking. I got to tell him my favorite brands of ice cream, what flavors. He began to tell me what kind he liked. And I got a recommendation from him, and gave him a recommendation. He said, you know, I think I'll try that. I like that combination you mentioned. We got to talking for long. I just let him know that I was a preacher, good pastor down at Harvest Baptist Church. If you're looking for an opportunity to serve, looking for another flavor, why not come out and visit us? Started a little intimidated, ending a little funny. He even hollered out to his wife, hey, honey, come over here. This preacher told me about this ice cream right here. The whole aisle found out who I was. Folks, God gives us opportunities. We just have to look for them and say, Lord, as I go, help me to remember. I'm not going to allow anyone to hinder me from serving you, living for you, or seeking you. I'm going to do my best to be persistent in my prayer life and crying out to you. And Lord, I want to not waste opportunities to get close to you. And dear friends, I don't know about you. When I'm witnessing to someone, when I'm sharing my faith with someone, when I'm trying to encourage someone, I feel real close to the Lord. Because I feel like I'm doing exactly what he wants me to do by loving on someone else, even though I don't even know that person. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your blessings upon us, the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Father, it's exciting to know as I teach and preach tonight and look across the opportunity. And to the best of my knowledge, Lord, everyone here has made a profession of faith and says, I know the Lord. But Father, even as believers, we all can cry out a little more. If we're not careful, we'll allow others to hinder us from being our best for the Lord in this new year. Father, we could squander opportunities if we're not careful. But Father, help us. Encourage us. Help us to make decisions that are pleasing unto you. With heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, Miss Marlene's going to play here just in a moment. Maybe God has spoken to your heart. You'd like to spend a moment of prayer where you stand here at an altar and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, though I believe in you, maybe there's some times I haven't believed in what you can do or that you want to do in my life. Help us. What about it, dear friend? Where you stand, where you sit, here at an altar, why not take a season right now of prayer and say, Lord, help me to learn these lessons from the blind man. As we approach this new year of 2024, a weekend already, but Father, help me to do more in this year and years past. But most importantly, Lord, help me to be obedient. Would you pray that? Would you take a moment tonight and just a season of prayer and saying, Lord, help me to be all that you would have me to be as I serve you in my community.